Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
He charged me with resisting arrest.
Get that confidence in jail.
I object.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Allegedly Bravo. I'm your host, Lauren, and I'm here with a very special guest, my friend Allegra from Legally 40-ish. Hi, Allegra.
Hey, Lauren. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I told you earlier offline that I'm feeling a little rusty, so thank you for having me today. I'm excited to do this.
Of course. I'm so excited to talk about it. Today, Allegra and I are going to be discussing the Rachel Levis lawsuit against Tom and Ariana and does 1 through 50. So I'm really excited. Allegra, are you excited?
I'm so excited. I mean, I feel like anytime there's a lawsuit in California state court, in my like neck of the woods, I feel like it's right up my alley. So I'm excited to talk about it.
So tell us a little bit about so you mentioned in the California court, you're a California attorney. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you got to be involved in all of this law stuff? And I don't know why I'm having a brain fart right now.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little bit of background.
Yeah. A little background. Yeah.
There we go. So yeah, I am an attorney licensed in California. I've been practicing almost 12 years now. And I kind of fell into civil litigation. So for people who don't know what that means, I sue people for a living. That's what I do. And I have for a long time. But I work in the civil courts pretty much exclusively. And I'm also a huge reality TV fan. I have been since as long as I could remember. I watched season one of Real Housewives of Orange County, and that got me into Bravo. And so once I kind of realized that I could take my love of the law and my love of reality TV and all of this nonsense and combine them together, that's how I just started podcasting with a girlfriend of mine. And we started Legally 40-ish. And then she kind of transitioned out of Legally 40-ish. And I've been focusing much of my time on my day job and my actual career. So I haven't been recording in a while, but I'm ready to get back on it. So yeah, that's how I ended up here.
So if you guys aren't already following Allegra, get on your phone right now and open Instagram and follow Legally 40-ish on Instagram, and also go subscribe to her podcast, because right after this, we're going to be recording for her feed as well. We're going to be talking about Erica Jane and all of that comes with Erica Jane.
Yeah, it seems like it's a never-ending saga in the Erica Jane lawsuit. So we'll get everyone caught up to where we are today, at least the best of my knowledge
and ability.
Exactly. I'm excited to talk. I'm excited to talk about Scandoval again. Here we are on the first anniversary of us all finding out about the affair that kind of,
I think it actually was March 3rd that Scandoval broke. And so it just feels kind of surreal to be sitting here on March 3rd with a lawsuit in our hands, stemming from where it all began. So we are going to be talking about the complaint that Rachel filed in the Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. She has four causes of action. So we'll go through those. We'll go through what she's alleging. But right off the bat, she's alleging the claims of eavesdropping against Tom Sandoval, revenge porn against Ariana Madix, invasion of privacy against Tom and Ariana, and intentional infliction of emotional distress against both Tom and Ariana as well. Now, when I first read this lawsuit, I read it from a link that I found on Reddit. Go figure. Goodbye Glam Squad sent it to me. And when I opened it, pages 1 and 3 were missing. And that was so frustrating to me because what now that Allegra sent me the full complaint with all pages included, pages 1 and 3 are the pages that are discussing the parties and who's actually involved in this lawsuit. And I don't know if it's because those pages were missing or just because of the nature of how rumors get started, but from my understanding, a bunch of people thought that this lawsuit with Rachel also included lawsuits against Bravo and Evolution and NBC. Did you feel like that as well? Or
yeah, I mean, in reading the complaint, yeah, in reading the complaint, you would assume that there were more defendants than the two named because there are a lot of allegations thrown out against Bravo, against, I think you said, Evolution. Yeah, right. Evolution yeah. Media, NBC, Andy Cohen, James Kennedy, Sheena Shea. I mean, there's these personal allegations against these people and these entities. So it's interesting that there's only two actual people named in the lawsuit.
Exactly. And just so people know, when you're starting a lawsuit and you don't know exactly who all's going to be involved, or you want to save room to add more defendants to sue that you discover later on, you include them in the does 1 through 50. So that's when you see that at the end, it just means they might add more. Would you?
Yeah, but the interesting thing about that though is that the plaintiff, the person who's bringing the lawsuit, has to be truly ignorant of the identities of those people. So she can't later amend this particular lawsuit to add, you know, anyone that we've already talked about because she clearly knows who they are and knows that they exist. The only reason would be to amend and add someone that maybe she didn't realize was a culpable party at the time, and then she could add them. So yeah, I'm confused as to, well, I'm not really confused. If I was just reading this, I would think that there would be other defendants named, but it seems as if she's using this lawsuit as an opportunity to air dirty laundry, tell her story, all of those things, even though there's maybe no real cause of action or legal cause of action against these people or entities.
Yeah, I agree. And especially like when you're reading this right off the bat, they name Evolution and NBC and Bravo. So I found it strange that all of these other entities and people, because she also named Sheena and James Kennedy quite a bit, it's interesting that those people weren't included in the defendants because they spend so much time in this lawsuit discussing all these other parties. I found that to be kind of interesting.
My thought is this, and I could be completely wrong. I'm a plaintiff's attorney, so I represent the people bringing the lawsuit. And that's, I've been on that side of the fence since for about 10 years. Prior to that, I was on the defense side. And as a plaintiff, you want to bring your lawsuit in the most favorable, what we call jurisdiction. You want to file your lawsuit in the court that's going to be the best for you and for your case. Mm-hmm. So bringing a lawsuit in LA Superior Court is what we would call like a plaintiff-friendly venue, generally speaking. That's a general statement. But so if she's suing Tom and Ariana, who are located in LA, she can bring that lawsuit. But if she's going to add Bravo, NBC Universal, all these other people, that might be like a federal lawsuit. And bringing your case in federal court is usually not as good for plaintiffs. So I'm thinking she brings this lawsuit against these two here in this venue, and she may bring another lawsuit in federal court against these other entities. That's just where I think this could be going. I could be wrong, but that's just my gut feeling.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I heard like rumors swirling in the rumor sphere on TikTok where people were speculating, you know, the number one source of hard-hitting news, TikTok.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh because rumors alone, you're kind of like, oh, it's a little whatever. And then you went TikTok. I'm like, oh, Lord.
We've lost her.
You've lost me. You've lost the over 40 crowd when you said TikTok. But go ahead. I'm curious.
People were speculating, and you know, I might kind of agree that this is like kind of the beginning of a domino effect that's going to start going with this particular group of attorneys taking on all of these entertainment lawsuits. People were speculating that they're going to start tipping like dominoes. Like, first we have this, and then we have Leah McSweeney, and then who's going to be next? And people were wondering and kind of speculating, is this particular lawsuit part of a bigger network of like not lawsuits that are going to drop? And, you know, what you said about the federal lawsuits and maybe like that's where you would bring the other claims kind of made me think, like, is this going to be a domino effect? I mean, we just don't know.
Well, I also feel, I think Mark Geragos was or is somehow connected to Bethany Frankel. I could be completely wrong about that. And I didn't do any research on these particular attorneys in terms of their relationship to the other lawsuits, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a common thread. So
he's the one who was helping her with the reality reckoning.
Okay. So yeah. See, yeah. And you'll, if anyone actually gets their hand on the complaint or if anyone would like to see it, I mean, reach out, we'll gladly share. It's a public record, but Mark Geragos is listed second on the caption. Mm-hmm. So there's one law firm locally in LA and then Mark Geragos is the second one. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming this first attorney on the heading is the
Brian
one.
Friedman.
Yeah, it was originally hired by Rachel. And then they brought in Mark Geragos to co-counsel with them. I could be wrong, but this is just from my experience. This is like how you would put it. You'd have the original firm up top with the other one below. So we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if this particular set of attorneys has their fingers in those other lawsuits or those other potential lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super interesting. So going through the complaint, wow, there are quite a bit of allegations here before we even get to the meat and potatoes of the complaint. Like, we have allegations against the companies, VPR, the show. She kind of throws Lisa Vanderpump under the bus at one point. She goes so hard for James Kennedy. I was shocked that there's not a James Kennedy lawsuit after all these allegations.
I agree. And I think, I mean, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what they go through, because I don't know if you saw my notes, but I kind of put this, there was this line that stood out to me, which is kind of what feels like their overview of the case and of the story and what happened from plaintiff's perspective. And I just want to read that. And they write, lost in the mix was that Levis was a victim of the predatory and dishonest behavior of an older man who recorded sexually explicit videos of her without her knowledge or consent, which were then distributed, disseminated, and discussed publicly by a scorned woman seeking vengeance, catalyzing the scandal.
That is quite a sentence.
It really is. And I've got to, well, I don't necessarily agree with all of that, but I do think there's part of that that is probably factually accurate.
Yeah. And I think there are parts of the sentence that I just have a problem with on a personal level, but like on a not personal level, it's like, yeah, lost in the mix of all of Scandoval, I agree, is like, there is this behavior from Tom Sandoval. If this is true, and it seems to be, there is truth somewhere here in this document that Tom Sandoval did record her without her knowledge or consent, and then had that video just on his phone for anyone to access, and Ariana did access, that's messed up. And horrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, and again, it's hard to say, well, let's go through it. Let's go through all the facts, because, but I agree with you. When you read it, it reads kind of like there's a backstory that they're telling here, and they want to kind of get into the history of Vanderpump Rules, the history of Rachel's time on Vanderpump Rules, and what that looked like for her leading up to, of course, the season and the time in which she starts the affair with Tom Sandoval. So I was really, really shocked to hear the allegations against James Kennedy. I think, I mean, we've heard some rumblings on social media and some insinuations that he's been violent or abusive, but nothing this forceful. And it's written in a legal pleading filed in court. But I think to go back to what you said about her not bringing a lawsuit against James Kennedy, I mean, I think the statute of limitations is likely passed for a lot of the conduct that she talks about. Mm-hmm. But she says that he's, I mean, and again, when I say she didn't write this, she did not verify the complaint, but the information is coming from, I mean, her attorneys. Mm-hmm. But with respect to James Kennedy, I mean, they call him a DJ prone to violent outbursts and grappling with longstanding substance abuse issues and emotional dysregulation, chronic substance abuse, emotional instability, controlling behavior. And then she talks about this time in Arizona when they're there for Thanksgiving, where he erupted at her parents and kicked her family dog 4 times in an uncontrollable rage. I was
I mean, he wrote this in a legal pleading, because like, if you were to just say that, that's kind of defamatory.
I mean, unless it's true.
Unless it's true. Right. And then they go through the complaint. Right. And then they go through the complaint and talk about, or I'm sorry, later on in the complaint, they talk about how there was a recording of James Kennedy abusing Kristen Doty, like on camera, and that they have footage of it that never aired. And so she's like leaning in. Rachel's attorneys are leaning into this, like, there's a lot of abuse happening in front of everybody's eyes.
Well, and the interesting part about it is, yes, she's exposing James and his conduct, but it's written in a way to show that Bravo and Evolution know about this behavior, these behaviors by these men on the show, and they continue to hide them and protect them and then exploit her. So that's kind of the theme that's underlying in exposing all of this conduct. At least that's what I got from it. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I do feel the same way. I think it's also interesting, though, the choice to mix things that happen off screen with things that happen in front of the camera. Like, did the event where James Kennedy allegedly kicked the dog 4 times, was that done on TV or no? So then I feel like there's kind of this like interesting sort of pathway to navigate, where it's like, well, okay, so Bravo knew about all these like terrible behaviors. They're also happening off screen. So these are just baseline terrible behaviors that now we all know about. So yes, I think I'm not trying to put any blame on Raquel or anybody at this point, but I'm just saying, at what point is Raquel also like, yeah, we're all very well aware, and I need to remove myself from being in this job where this is my life that I'm dealing with this, and now I'm going to deal with it at work too. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's hard because, look, I have sympathy and empathy for someone who's in an abusive relationship or potentially abusive, and someone who's, you know, it looks like she's been through a lot. Like, we can't take that away from her. And that's not to say that excuses her bad behavior or any of her conduct. It's just, again, these people are making choices to continue to be on the show and be on TV. So at some point you have to say, like, this is not worth it to me. I'm not going to be on this TV show. I'm not going to, you know, she got into a relationship with James likely because he was on television. It seemed that way. And she was able to get onto Vanderpump Rules. And yes, it seems kind of like toxic to be a part of. I think as a viewer, we could all agree that it's probably not how we want our lives to be involved in this friend group. And, you know, it seems toxic, but she never made the decision to just exit the show, which, you know, whatever. That's neither here nor there. I think the point of them going through this, though, is for everyone to feel sorry for her, which, I don't know. It's hard to say, because there are things you can feel bad for her for then that she had to go through. But that doesn't really have any bearing on what this lawsuit's about.
Right. That's kind of where it's like, we've spent how many minutes already talking about James Kennedy? And it's like, she's not even suing him.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a revenge porn lawsuit, and they're spending so much time talking about everybody else.
Yep. And that's kind of the problem with Raquel, I think, in general, and why people were, or Rachel, and were annoyed with her when all of this happened. Cause it's like, well, what about this? And it's like, okay, but we're not talking about that. Let's focus on this situation. So that's what this lawsuit does too. It seems to muddy the waters and get people feeling sorry for her. But again, this is written with the full knowledge that it's going to be a public document reported on, discussed,
scrutinized on allegedly Bravo and Legally 40-ish.
And TikTok and all over social media. But so they know what they're doing. I mean, you put, and I guarantee this document before it was filed, or at the time it was filed, was leaked to TMZ or whatever sort of news outlet. Mm-hmm. So this is the whole point, is that there's going to be people talking about all of this crap that she had to go through and all of this shit before we even get to what happened. And I think that if you are being emotional, you could really feel sorry for her and be like, this is really messed up. And like, yes, these people really screwed her over. So it's, you have to, which is a, you know, for this, for us talking about it, not dealing with the actual legal causes of action. Like, that's what happens. People start to feel bad for someone and they think like, wow, she really got screwed over every turn. By Bravo, by, look, Andy Cohen, Lisa Vanderpump, James Kennedy. She doubles down on the Sheena allegations.
I know. Oh my God. Let me flip to that page.
Let's talk about that, because we all know what was going on with Sheena and the restraining order, and she had went to the police and filed charges. So, you know, as most people listening probably know, you can have criminal allegations and the criminal courts deal with the criminal side of things. And then you have civil, which is what we're dealing with here, where you can bring a lawsuit and you can sue for money. So she didn't bring a lawsuit against Sheena, but which, I mean, technically she could for assault and battery, but she doesn't. But she goes through the entire night and what happened and the way they describe the quote assault. I'll let you talk about it, but it's pretty crazy.
It's actually so crazy. So it's, if you're following along with your paper copy of this complaint, we're on page 7. The heading is, the beginning of the way the paragraph is titled is, Levis battered after Maddox steals and sends illicit videos. I mean, that's quite a header. Okay, so they're saying I'll read it just verbatim. On the night of March 1st, Levis was in New York with another cast member, Sheena Shea, taping Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Having finished filming, Levis and Shea were at a bar when Levis received a text from Maddox, quote, "You are dead to me," all caps. Alongside the message were the two videos of Levis that Maddox purportedly discovered on Sandoval's phone. Levis experienced a swirl of emotions in response, including shock and fear. Shock, because she did not know Sandoval had recorded the pornographic videos of her. Fear, because those videos were now in the hands of someone who hated her guts and was out for blood. She was terrified Maddox would leak them on the internet. Reacting to the revelation in apparent shock and anger, Shea violently assaulted Levis, shoving her aggressively into a brick wall, punching her in the face, and throwing her phone into the street. The blow to Levis's face caused a rupture above her left eyebrow and severe swelling and bruising above her left eye. Levis was told by a treating physician that her busted brow would permanently scar. Shaken, Levis flew home the next day and informed her family of what was happening. Like, I picture the most back alley, brutal beating.
Yeah, I mean, violently assaulting someone, shoving them into a brick wall, punching her in the face, and throw. I mean, it sounds like, yeah, you're right, a back alley throwdown, but it's pretty intense. I don't know. I'm sure Sheena's going to be crying about it. And I don't mean that like to be mean, but
I know.
I mean, this is pretty aggressive the way she describes this. But you know what I think is interesting about this is that the header you read, Levis battered after Maddox steals and sends illicit videos. Well, there's nothing in those paragraphs that you read that says that Maddox sent the video to Sheena. That
right.
So all she does is sends it to Rachel.
Yeah.
So that's not actually publicizing or distributing the actual material. But I thought that was interesting that they don't actually even make the allegation that she did send it to Sheena. They don't even say.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How Sheena knows about it. Do you see that? It's very,
right.
It's very muddy. Vague. Intentionally, I think vague. I lost my sheet of notes here, but I thought it was very ballsy of her to have it written and described in this way. Now, again, I'm going to say this for people who don't understand how this works. The plaintiff does not actually write the lawsuit. Obviously you hire an attorney to write this. Sometimes a plaintiff can verify the complaint, meaning they'll read it and they'll sign something that says like that it's a verified complaint, meaning that all of the allegations are actually coming directly from the plaintiff themselves. A lot of times attorneys like to use colorful or expressive language to describe things that may be, you know, a little bit more dramatic. Like I said, this is written with the intent that it's going to be publicized and discussed. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that's how Rachel described what happened, but clearly her attorneys have described it this way. Mm-hmm. And if she didn't read it before it was filed, that would be strange. Normally you would want your client to read this before you file it, but she's going to have to stand by some of these things in this complaint. And they're significant and severe allegations. I mean, against James, against Andy Cohen, against Bravo, it's a lot. I mean, we can talk about what they said about Andy Cohen too. It wasn't that much, but it was.
Yeah, I think we should talk about it. Definitely.
So they go on to, again, as we've told you, they give us this long backstory and it's pages and pages of backstory. This kind of gets a little bit into the meat of the allegations, but still not, in my opinion, not really.
Yeah.
But, then they go on to discuss how Scandoval comes out. And this, again, broke on March 3rd when TMZ first reported the affair. And so then the complaint goes on to discuss how Bravo and Evolution capitalize on it and essentially mm-hmm. silence Rachel and don't allow her to tell her side of the story and come forward. So that's where these allegations kind of against Andy Cohen come up. How they continue to protect and mm-hmm. like capitalize on the scandal, but not give her any support or help her through it. But I'll let you go. Yeah.
And I also thought it was interesting, like the attorneys specifically call out that Bravo and Andy Cohen took no steps to mitigate Levis's abuse, even as Cohen himself expressed concern about her mental health going into the reunion. And to me, I find that whole, like, this whole allegation against Andy to be a little confusing because it's, like, very much focused on, like, nobody seemed to offer Rachel, like, a shoulder to cry on, or they just, like, made her show up to her job or, you know, and whatever. And I don't know, I just, is it, is it really relevant here? Like, does it really matter whether Andy Cohen comforted her at the reunion? You know, like, to me, that still has nothing to do with this lawsuit. And so I was kind of reading this whole complaint as more of like a really long PR statement.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you couldn't just put this out as a PR statement and then be like, Rachel's, you know, this is what Rachel's side of the story is. It's like, this is the most effective PR statement, I think, that she could have put out. You know, she's really slamming everybody.
I agree. And I think the part of the lawsuit, I think, well, and I think they do a lot of this too to support the IIED claim, which we can talk about later once we get to the actual causes of action. But they want to show just how kind of outrageous and extreme all of this was and how it affected her, which of course she was affected emotionally. I think there were a lot of people who were, and I'm not saying you can or cannot feel bad for her. That's up to you, but there's no doubt that there was blowback from what happened. But I think they do this to make it seem that this is Ariana's fault or Tom's, which a lot of it is Tom's fault, but some of it is just, some of it's natural fallout. And then some of that is just, I don't know, it became this weird sensation that happened publicly. But I think that when they go into like the meat of this particular lawsuit and the things that happened that I thought were interesting is when they go to talk about, so her main allegation here, which I think most people know by this point, is that the video that was found, and I'll just describe it briefly. I mean, she says it in here. So was that she was like in a state of undress and she was masturbating. That's essentially what the video was. But her allegation is that those videos were recorded by Tom without her consent, which is against the law, no doubt. So what I thought was interesting is this allegation. I'll just read it from the complaint. It's paragraph 32. On March 4th, the day after the news of the affair had broken, production directed Levis to film with Sandoval at her Los Angeles apartment. With cameras rolling, Levis confronted Sandoval for secretly recording pornographic videos of her and storing them unprotected on his phone. Sandoval had not only invaded her privacy and breached her trust, but had also left her enormously vulnerable to a nightmare of scenario of the videos leaking on the internet. Sandoval responded to Levis's fury with cowardice and lies, claiming falsely that he had obtained her permission or permission to record her. Seeing that Levis was having none of it, however, Sandoval ultimately offered a reluctant admission and a sheepish apology. Sandoval was clearly rattled. After filming ended, an erratic and unsettled Sandoval refused to leave Levis's apartment in spite of her request. Levis was forced to have her sister and brother-in-law pick her up and drive her to their home. That day, Levis retained an attorney to mitigate the risk of the illicit videos leaking. Once at her sister's home, Levis turned off her phone for 2 days, hoping that it would die down. So she goes on to say that because Tom was like very upset about this information getting out there, that he had actually obtained these videos illegally and recorded her without her permission, he, I guess, freaked out on Bravo. This is what she's alleging, and that he threatened to continue filming and unless they gave him editing rights over that particular scene. And she says that they obliged to his demand and that they edited out that information. Now, I want to know your thoughts, because obviously we didn't see that happen. So it was not, it was edited out if that in fact did happen. But do you believe that Bravo and Evolution would grant Sandoval editing rights? Or do you think, I mean, or do you think that they just made the decision to do that? I mean, for whatever reason, but I don't know. I'm just, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. I would think they would have, I wouldn't, if I were Evolution and Bravo, I would not give Sandoval editing rights. Like, I just think it's, because from my perspective, if I'm like the company and the business and I'm putting on this TV show, it's like the more people start having a say in how they're edited, that's when the show starts not being good. I mean, you start to see that on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like they're self-editing, which is why sometimes it's not that interesting.
Totally.
But if I'm also like running those companies and in this, this is a big deal. Like if you're having two people, two main characters on your show who are discussing the one of the biggest scandals on your show. And now these two people are talking about like a very serious kind of crime of recording someone pornographically without their consent. Like, I don't know if I want to open that can of worms, you know, on screen and air that. Like, for a lot of reasons, like, is it helpful? No. The story is about cheating and all of that. And I think at that point, having a full discussion about what Tom allegedly did, I don't think it was Tom's decision not to include that. I think it was a strategic decision on the company's part.
I agree with you. I also think, as terrible as it may sound, so I'm going to say this without saying that I agree with the decision, but I think that the decision was made to keep that information out because, like you said, it honestly would have just made it like, it would have changed the arc of the story, right? It would have changed it from like this affair that they had and the fallout from the affair to like, oh, you're like a creepy predator who committed crimes. Like,
exactly.
So for story purposes, it made more sense to keep it out. However, I personally think that it's wrong and that it should be discussed. Well, it should have been. It's probably not going to be on this season because this season's kind of a snooze fest. But I think that that's a piece of information that should be brought up and should be discussed and should be a storyline separate and apart from what happened. But I do think that they just did that because they didn't want to deal with it. I don't think it's necessarily the right decision, but I see why they did it. I don't think it was Tom's, I don't think they acquiesced to Tom's fits.
No, especially when it's like, these people, they're not rookies. Like, they deal with the likes of Luann de Lesseps, you know, they're not going to just give in to Tom Sandoval.
Or Ramona Singer. But I think, yeah, but so in the complaint though, again, this goes more to Bravo and Evolution than it does to anything that Tom or Ariana did. And that's the hard part too. When they're filming a TV show, there's entertainment and then there's real life. Like, these are things that are happening in people's real life, but they are creating a television show and they have a story that they want to tell or show. So it does become muddy. It's not clean. It's not like 24/7 filming. It's an edited television show for entertainment. But so I think it's interesting. I think that's, I mean, I guess we'll never see the footage of Tom admitting it. So are you taking her word that in fact he did film her without her consent?
I don't know if there was consent involved or not. That's hard to say, but I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't consent involved because she seemed very shocked. But I do 1,000% believe that he recorded those videos, whether she knew it or not. But then I'm kind of, okay, on a separate kind of thing, whenever I'm screenshotting or anything, when I'm on FaceTime with like my sister, the screen's black. Like, if I go to my photos, then like whatever screenshot's just black. So I'm wondering, like, if you screen record on FaceTime, does it record the screen? Because like, you know, when you try to screen record and you're like streaming on Peacock or whatever, it'll just be a black screen.
Interesting.
So I want to try, I want to try a little experiment with that because I was a bit confused as to the screen recording aspect of it. And either way, it seemed like he wasn't supposed to have it.
Yeah. I mean, and we don't know. They don't, they don't discuss. Oh, I think we hear this. I think it must have been something we heard on the show or through, you know, all of the pieces of media we've seen it for this past year, that it was a FaceTime, right? Mm-hmm. And they, it was like mutual. They were both masturbating and that was record. I know. I'm sorry. Sorry for the graphic description, but that was my impression, but you don't know from reading the complaint exactly how this illegal recording took place.
Exactly.
So it's not, again, we're not entirely sure, but that's,
yeah.
I'm putting together pieces of information based on things we've heard over the year.
Yeah. It's also, I don't know, if I, I would love to know more about Ariana's like mindset when she sent those videos to Raquel. You know what I mean? Because she obviously said that, or the complaint says that Ariana saw these videos on Tom's phone and that she sent those two videos to Raquel. So did she send them to herself first and then Raquel, or to Raquel from Tom's phone? And my thought process is, if I were Ariana, I would be like, look at what this fucking asshole did. He recorded you while you weren't supposed to, like, you didn't know. Because to me, that's different than if she's like, I'm going to show this to everyone because you're a cheater.
Well, okay, I have a completely different perspective. Okay. From either of those two things, I think it can be like, she had, from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm just trying to put myself in her shoes, Ariana's shoes.
Yeah.
You see these videos on your boyfriend's phone, your husband's phone. You would have no reason to believe that these were recorded without her consent or her knowledge. Zero. Right. Right. You would have no, there's, especially if you would just have no idea how, that would never right. be the first thing that would jump to
how
memory.
Did that get there?
It would be yeah. like, either she sent it to him or this was something they were doing together. Again, we don't know specifically the contents of the videos, but mm-hmm. we know that she's in a state of undress and masturbating. That's what it says in the complaint. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take that at what it is. So you see these and you're just like, what the fuck? Like mm-hmm. send the video or take a screen grab of it and be like, what the fuck? You sent mm-hmm. the, you know, I don't think that she was sending them to her like, oh my God, he took these of you without your knowledge.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I think it's like, she just like, what the fuck, you fucking dumb bitch. I hate you. You're dead to me. But
I did say that.
I mean, that's probably the nicest thing you could say to someone if you found that on your, oh on your God. Spouse's phone. So, but let's talk about real quick, since we're talking about this,
mm-hmm.
even though we're a little out of order, that video you sent me on Instagram yesterday of mm-hmm. Ariana on Sheena's podcast, and she's specifically discussing the videos that she found, what she did with those materials. And I think it was, I remember having heard it before Lauren sent it to me yesterday, but you can tell people where to find it, or we can insert it in here. You could play it for them. Yeah, but
I'll play it.
To be very clear, I have not shown,
I know,
or sent that video. I don't have it. Mm-hmm. I did not hold on to it for any reason.
It wasn't sent to the iCloud.
No, so that video was gone mm-hmm. before I ever even called her on the phone. If people know about what's in it, it's very simple.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
you
not
told
I'm not
us.
Gonna get into the details, but there's right. not a lot of detail.
My lawyer made all of that very
yeah,
clear.
I think okay. because it's, I think it's pretty, her words are pretty specific, clear about what she did, that she wouldn't have, she didn't distribute it, she wouldn't share it, she didn't share it. And I mean, I believe her when you're listening to her, because she's like, yeah, I wouldn't. I think at the end of the day, Ariana may have been scorned and livid, but she wasn't mm-hmm. about to engage in revenge porn and put this girl on blast
right.
by sharing this information everywhere. Because that's at the end of the day, like, two rights don't make a wrong. And I don't think she would have done that. And she says she didn't, and I believe her.
And it didn't seem like that was the space she was in, because if that was, she would have put it on her Instagram story or yeah. something, you know, we would have known what the contents of the video were.
And other people say they didn't see it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't, I mean, now that I'm like having more of like an in-depth thought about this, it's like, I don't know if I would necessarily show everybody like at all. I would show nobody. Like, I wouldn't want anyone to know like how my boyfriend or husband was cheating on me.
No, and I think it's more showing her like, you can't deny this.
Caught
look what
in
I have
the act.
Mm-hmm. on his phone. Like, you're dead to me. I've got nothing to say to you. Mm-hmm. And then she's done. I don't think that, like you said, I just don't believe that she distributed it. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I mean, that gets into the, you know, the heart of the lawsuit. But there's one more allegation that she discusses, or that she throws at Ariana, that I think is pretty shocking. That's actually the most shocking. It has absolutely nothing to do with this lawsuit, but she claims that Ariana knew about the affair as early as fall 2022.
And that Ariana like chastised her and Tom for not being discreet enough and
Yeah,
to
said like,
save it. Like save it for the cameras, pretty much.
I don't believe that.
That I believe none of it. Yeah, it says here, although paragraph 21, although purportedly a secret, the affair was in fact well known to many cast members and suspected by others. Levis and Sandoval were not particularly discreet. Levis is informed and believes, and on such information and belief, alleges that Maddox knew about it as early as fall 2022. Indeed, in December 2022, Maddox scolded Levis and Sandoval for being handsy in public, admonishing them to save the story for season 11. I'm sure she did say, "Don't be handsy in public, you freaks."
I don't believe that. I just don't.
No.
And she says, what's interesting is she says, Levis is informed and believes and on such information and belief. So that doesn't mean that she really has personal knowledge. It would
No.
mean she's been told by somebody else that she knew, which I just don't believe that.
Right, exactly. It seems like a lot of speculation.
Yeah.
And
So,
yeah,
no, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and again, it's like even more information when we get to like the revenge porn aspect, like that was a couple of paragraphs of
Yeah.
information. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So they go on to talk about, I mean, there's a lot more in here. That's honestly, it's pages of how she was silenced. She went to mental health treatment. She wasn't even allowed to disclose information in her treatment center. She says that she was being threatened by Bravo, that she couldn't break her confidentiality clause, and there was no exception for like mental health treatment or medical treatment. So she was left basically battered, bruised emotionally, physically, and no one there to help her.
Right.
And everyone else has made a ton of money off of this and has the, VPRs, star rows, and everyone's doing great, except she's been left
High and dry.
the
Yeah.
sacrificial lamb, I believe, is what she calls herself.
It's interesting to me that in this complaint, I wish I could remember exactly which paragraph, but she talks about Katie Maloney and what Katie Maloney said. She talks about Ariana. She talks about Tom Sandoval, Sheena Shea, James Kennedy, but I don't see Tom Schwartz's name in here, and I don't see Lala's name in here. But Lala made a killing off Send It to Daryl.
Yeah, I mean, she does mention people making merch.
Yeah, but it's just interesting to me. I wonder why she called out everyone except for those two.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's interesting. So this last paragraph, before they actually get into the causes of action, he says, it's page paragraph 46. For Levis, the future is less rosy. She brings this suit to vindicate her legal rights, if not to restore her sullied reputation. And it feels like the latter part is what they focus a lot of this lawsuit on.
Yeah. I literally wrote, if not restore her reputation. It was like so Taylor Swift reputation era.
So, from like a legal analysis, now we can talk about the causes of action and what this really means moving forward. So, everything we just told you are all allegations in the complaint that may or may not support the actual legal causes of action. Now, meaning people can engage in terrible behavior towards you, but there may not be actual, you can't sue them for it. There's only certain conduct that you can actually bring a lawsuit for. So, as Lauren said when we first started, there are four causes of action in this lawsuit, only against Ariana and Tom. Everyone else we've told you about, all that other stuff, none of that's actually part of the complaint, like part of the actual meat of these causes of action. So the first one is the heading and the title is eavesdropping. So what I thought was interesting is that it's they're using penal codes for the cause of action. So penal codes are usually criminal statutes, and when you violate a criminal statute, you you're punished in criminal court, but this is a civil cause of action for eavesdropping. Mm-hmm. And eavesdropping is kind of, when I looked up the jury instructions. So like when you bring a lawsuit, you have to prove your case against the defendant, and the jury is instructed on what elements you have to meet in order to win. So there's mm-hmm. like, you know, certain things they lay out. And essentially what this is, even though it's called eavesdropping, it's really recording of confidential information. Mm-hmm. And in California, you have to have, it's a two-party consent law or consent state. So if you want to record me, like we're recording this here today, I have mm-hmm. your permission to record this, but I could not record this without your permission.
Right.
You would have a cause of action against me if this was being recorded without your knowledge and your consent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's essentially what the first cause of action is against him. And I mean, if it's true, then it's a pretty much a slam dunk. It's very easy.
I think the hairy part will be whether, kind of like what we discussed earlier, was this a FaceTime or was this a video that she sent?
Yeah, I have to imagine it's a FaceTime or some other video conferencing with a screen recording, because otherwise if she's recording herself and sending it, then this wouldn't apply.
There goes that. Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't seem like she was with him in the same space and he was recording something surreptitiously, you know, like propped up a camera somewhere and is recording without her knowledge. So, go ahead.
It is really weird that these are penal codes.
It was. I was very confused and I spent a lot of time researching the actual cause of action, because normally when you're bringing a lawsuit, you're suing for a breach of a civil statute.
Yeah, right.
So I was trying to find the equivalent of the civil statute and I was unable to find that, but I did find the jury instruction, the Casey jury instruction for the civil.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says, it says Penal Code 632 and 637.2.
Mm-hmm.
And plaintiff has to prove that the defendant intentionally recorded, it says conversation. Wasn't a conversation.
They were discussing something.
And that plaintiff had a reasonable expectation that the conversation was not being overheard or recorded, and that defendant did not have the consent of all parties to the conversation to eavesdrop or record on it, and that plaintiff was harmed and defendant's conduct was a substantial factor in causing harm. Now, I don't know if there's going to be some sort of technicality that it wasn't a conversation, but if this was a video phone call,
right,
I'd probably the same thing.
Right. I mean, something was being communicated. Maybe they should change the instruction to be communication instead of conversation, but that's a job for a different girl.
There may have been talking. We don't know what was happening.
Yeah.
and how awkward. I just cannot think of something more awkward.
This whole thing is just like, oh my God. Well, so I'm licensed in Minnesota, not in California. So if I were to get this lawsuit and it was all penal codes, I would be like, you have no basis for this lawsuit. Can we dismiss this complaint? Is that something like that's reasonable in your opinion?
So I thought of that too, because you want, if you're a defendant and you get sued, you want to knock out as many causes of action and really pare the complaint down, really compare the allegations down to like, what are we really fighting over here? What's the real issue, the heart of mm-hmm. of the fight, the dispute? And that's what I was trying to find out. Is there a private right of action for someone recording mm-hmm. you without your consent? And it appears there is.
Well,
it's a little confusing for me, but it appears there is.
It appears there is.
Again, I mean, that's invasion of privacy, though. It's like kind of the same overlap.
Yeah.
Which is another cause of action that was brought in this lawsuit. But so that's really number one against Tom. If in fact he recorded her without her consent, which she says that's what happened. And I have to imagine they're going to 150% subpoena that footage from Bravo and Evolution. God, yeah. If that in fact exists, that will be subpoenaed and that will be part of this trial, which is interesting, because after the lawsuit for people who don't know how like a lawsuit, the timeline of a lawsuit, you file the complaint. This is called the complaint. The defendants then respond to it. They can either file their answer, basically just generally denying all of the allegations. They can file any sort of motions to get the lawsuit thrown out. And then once we get past that stage, then discovery starts. And discovery is like the defendants can say, hey, you know, produce all documents which support this allegation, produce all writing, produce everything you have to support. And then plaintiff does the other thing. They ask questions of the defense. So that's the discovery process. And that will happen. That's when you can subpoena documents, subpoena records, subpoena video footage, text messages, all of that. So that's will happen all in the discovery process. That information is not public. It's not something that gets filed with the court, not something we'll ever see unless it somehow leaks. But that all of that is generally just between the parties. So we won't really know much other than what's publicly filed with the court.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I would hope it would settle before trial, because if I'm Rachel, I don't want that video entered into evidence.
Oh, but I mean, I'm talking specifically about the Vanderpump Rules footage.
Oh, yeah. 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 That I want to see.
So do I. That I want to see. Because if he did, and he in fact admits it and is like, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him. Sorry.
Fuck him. Honestly.
Before that, I already thought that.
Yeah. Even if none of this is true, like, fuck him.
No, I mean, but it's, I already don't like him and didn't before this. So, but I mean, that's just, I do feel for her. I mean, if something like that's floating around out there in the world that you did not consent to, that's terrifying. I don't disagree with that. So that's the cause of action against Tom. I think he, mm-hmm. if in fact did that, he's shit out of luck. And I think she's also seeking punitive damages. That's kind of a big deal. And for people who don't know what punitive damages are, when someone, punitives are not in that they're asking for.
They are for number four.
Yeah, but they are at the end. So, but also in for this particular cause of action, the attorney's fees apparently can be attached to it, which you can't normally get attorney's fees in lawsuits. So if Rachel's paying out of pocket for these attorneys right now, under certain causes of action, you can recover attorney's fees. So that's, mm-hmm. it could be tons of extra money if you win and then have to pay someone's attorney's fees. They do ask for punitive damages under this one. So punitive damages are meant to, it's paragraph 52. Punitive damages are meant to punish a defendant for their conduct. Normally, people can recover damages for the harms they suffered. And punitive damages intend to like punish the defendant. Like, sure, you have to compensate someone for all the harm you caused them, but then because you were such a bad actor, we're going to punish you extra. We're going to make you pay more just because you're bad. Mm-hmm. And those are really, really hard to get. So I guarantee there will be a motion filed by both defendants to strike the punitive damages request. Mm-hmm. And I would bet anything we'll see those filed.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the answers.
I think that Ariana's going to file a motion,
mm-hmm.
a demur. So let's talk about the next cause of action, because that one applies to Ariana only. That's the revenge porn cause of action. So go ahead.
I just have the factual elements up for that. It says that in order to prove or to establish this claim, you would have to prove that Ariana intentionally distributed by specific means photos, films, videotapes of Rachel, that Rachel didn't consent to these distributions, that Ariana knew or reasonably should have known that plaintiff Rachel had a reasonable expectation that this video would stay private, that the videos exposed intimate body parts or showed Rachel engaging in acts of intercourse, etc. Any act really sexually, and that Rachel was harmed and that Ariana's conduct was a substantial factor in causing Rachel's harm. If the video is what it says it is, then there is definitely these elements are met, except I have a question about distribution. Because if you're set, if you're sending the video, like, what is the distribution kind of limit? If you're sending it back to the person who it's about, is that distribution? You know, is it posting it on the internet?
So what's interesting, I think, is because this is a relatively new cause of action. Like, it hasn't been around for decades. Obviously, this is something that's evolved with modern times and social media and all of that. To me, so I was looking for the specific legal definition of distribution within the meaning of this statute. You know, what does it mean to distribute? Does it sending it to one person? Is that distribution? From the things I could find, I think publicly distributing it. And that could mean even to, I don't think sending it to Rachel is a distributing distribution within the meaning of the statute. To me, that's not publicly sharing anything. I think that also Ariana, from my perspective, I don't know, but this, it doesn't appear that she had any knowledge that these were videos recorded without someone's consent. So if you are voluntarily making videos and sending them, do you have any expectation of privacy when you're sharing naked video? I mean, perhaps, but I think it makes it harder. If it was Tom who sent it, obviously we have, I think we have the revenge porn statute met.
Right. Yeah.
But when you have this third party who discovers it, sends it to the person who it's about, and that's it.
Right.
I think you're going to have a very difficult time meeting the elements under the statute from my perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for those two, I think it's hard to say that she distributed it. And then that, because it says that defendant knew or reasonably should have known that plaintiff had a reasonable expectation that the video would remain private. How would Ariana have known or reasonably should have known that Rachel had a reasonable expectation of privacy in that video?
Right.
I think it's hard.
I think it's hard too, especially if you don't know whether at that moment, whether Rachel sent this video or, like you said, if it was obtained otherwise.
We have no idea. And so the statute really has to get into the mind of the person who shared that video, if it was distributed, which I disagree on distribution. So I think that this is going to be a difficult one to prove. I think that obviously in the lawsuit, the way they write out the allegations, it meets the elements, because that's what you have to do when you're writing a lawsuit. But I think it's going to be difficult. That's my legal analysis.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be real hard.
I do. Yeah. I think it's going to be hard. So then the other two causes of action left are invasion of privacy and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Those are against both Sandoval and Ariana. And invasion of privacy, I do think she has a cause of action against Tom for the same reasons. I'm not sure that she has the same valid cause of action against Ariana for the same reasons I already said. I don't know what you think.
No, yeah, I agree with you.
And then the last one, intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that this rises to that level.
I don't think it does either. I also thought you had to have like a serious physical manifestation of symptoms to receive damages for this, but maybe I'm wrong.
You might not be wrong. I just don't really remember. Let me pull up the jury instructions. So, so I don't remember. I know that it's difficult because I never bring an IED cause of action or NIED. NIED is different, but intentional infliction. Like, I love, so there's these notes. It says, it is generally held that there can be no recovery for mere profanity, obscenity, or abuse without circumstances of aggravation, or for insults, indignities, or threats, which are considered to amount to nothing more than mere annoyances. I think it's hard, especially in this conduct, in this context, to say that this conduct was extreme and outrageous. They film a TV show. They film a TV show where they have to show all of this stuff. So is this beyond the bounds of what's like normal in this context? No. Like,
right.
And the reason it would ever even be considered extreme or outrageous is because it's on television, right? Like, I don't know. I think that the circumstances here are unique and different. So it doesn't really rise to the level of it, like extreme behavior.
Yeah. And I think if it's, especially because it's like this, it was pretty a small circle of people who have seen or have serious knowledge of what this video is. I think if Ariana had posted it or Tom posted it or whatever, that's extreme and outrageous, you know, but just what Ariana did, sending it to her, being like, what the F, you're dead to me. I don't find that to be extreme and outrageous.
No. And, yeah. Or telling your friends, this is what I fucking found on the phone. And this right. is what she was doing. And that's it. I mean, that's not extreme and outrageous conduct. Now, if she could prove revenge porn, if she could prove that this was filmed without her consent, that is, I think then she'd have the cause of action, but she can't meet the other one. Against Tom, I think she may.
Yeah.
But again, when you read the complaint as a whole, the reason you end up feeling like, wow, this really was extreme and outrageous is because of all of the other things that happened.
Exact. The dog, the Sheena Shea hitting her, like all of this stuff.
The reunion, filming the reunion, having to go through all of this and ending up in a mental health facility. Like, this is all like, none of it's great, but it's also just a unique set of circumstances because you film a television show.
Yeah. You are a public figure. This is going to, this is everything the show's about. And it happened, you know, interpersonal relationships between all these members of the cast. This is like the most extreme version of that we've seen, and it's going to play out in the media because that's what the show is. It's media. So, you know, it sucks. I mean, I'm really glad that she went to the Meadows place and got some help and wasn't like dealing with the fallout of this all by herself. But video aside, the actions that created Scandoval were Sandoval cheated on Ariana with Raquel. She was involved in an affair. And like, that is a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a terrible part of the scandal. But the main part that was talked about in the media and with everybody was the fact that they had an affair. Not necessarily the video. When we talked about the video, it was like, how did this all come out? Ariana found a video on the phone. Wham, bam, thank you, Pam. And now we're all talking about this stuff. Yeah. So it's just, there's like a line there, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, bringing a lawsuit is a smart way to have your story be told, have your story out there. And she does, in my opinion, have some valid causes of action against Tom Sandoval. I do... Even though I am an attorney and I do this for a living, I don't always think a lawsuit is the best way to handle these sorts of things. There's a lot that comes with it. There's a lot of money, time, energy, stress, all of it being involved in litigation where it may not be necessary. And so...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well... HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I think this is going to be a long, painful road going down this litigation path for her, for everyone involved. And if you really want it to be done, this might not be the way to do it.
Right. Filing a big inflammatory lawsuit on the year anniversary.
Yeah. It's only keeping it in everyone's mind and at the forefront of the news. And so here we go again. It's like, it's the gift that keeps giving. And actually everyone's kind of over it at this point. So
everyone's kind of over it. And it's like, she goes through this whole lawsuit saying she never was able to have her voice heard, but she has a podcast about it. And she went on, what's her name's Bethany's podcast. Like, she chose not to be on the show. I don't think they fired her.
No. Right? And they talk about that, about them wanting
her
to
come
back.
They begged her. Yeah.
Well, they talk, I mean, in the complaint.
Mm-hmm. Right. They said,
even discussed.
Like, you can't, but the way they wrote it made it seem like they were like, you can't not do it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, do I think it's just a weird, it's just a unique set of circumstances. I keep saying that because you're on a television show where mm-hmm. you've chosen to air your dirty laundry. You were having an affair with a main cast member
mm-hmm.
and it became public and you're very upset about the fallout of it, but like, that's what happens. I mean, and for, I mean, that's what you signed up for in so many ways. Not all of this. I'm not saying she deserves all of the things that happened, but it's just not your normal situation. And it's not like she was having an affair with someone's spouse or partner who was on, not on the show. Like, if that was someone, right. you know, a private person, that might be even be a different situation. So I don't know. It's, I wish it were just over, but she's I mean, she's the one regurgitating it all by continuing to put it out there. And yeah. she filed it exactly because there's a 1-year statute on, I think, on the revenge porn. So she filed it right just in the nick of time.
Yeah, really just in the nick of time. Like, yeah, like right there, a day before, 2 days before.
A day.
Wow.
And like,
good thing it wasn't rejected.
It's always my worst nightmare when I'm filing something close to the statute. But one, the final thing, I think we've kind of like gone through it all, but
mm-hmm.
you also, when you bring a lawsuit, the whole point is you're bringing it for money damages. Like, I'm not sure how the cash flow for Tom Sandoval, like how high that cash flow is, you know?
Right.
Yes, he has a house that's, I think, mortgaged to some degree. If I remember correctly, he's taken out loans against the house, but mm-hmm. and yes, he probably makes significant salary and but it just doesn't feel like he's got
money there.
$5 million in the bank where he right. could pay a judgment or pay her, like, cause I don't know what's going to make her happy anyway. It's just interesting to me when you're suing someone, you want there to be money at the other side of it.
Right. So. Yeah. You're suing for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Unless the reason is to.
Unless this is her reason.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which so, it kind of sounds like.
I will definitely keep my eyes open and take a look at the subsequent filings. I bet Ariana and Tom haven't even been served yet. So they have, once they get served, they'll have 30 days to file an answer or response to the complaint. So it's going to be some time before this thing keeps moving forward, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I just one more thing before we wrap it up, because it was a big timeline, I think, that they put together. A lot of this is establishing a timeline. One thing I took note of was they said that Ariana and Tom started dating in 2014 and that Rachel joined the cast in 2016. So sometimes I feel like we think of Raquel as sort of an ancillary. I'm sorry, I keep calling her Raquel. We keep thinking of Rachel as sort of like an ancillary, like B-team character, but she has been on the show and involved in everything that the show is since 2016. That's like 8 years.
It does not feel like that at all. It's kind of crazy.
Feel like that. Yeah. But it's like, was this all culminating since 2016? Like, has all of this been a problem since 2016? Or, you know, with the Bravo and the evolution and this and that, or is it a new thing? Or does it matter? I don't know.
It's hard. I mean, from my perspective, I think people are willing to look the other way, mm-hmm. or maybe swallow a few pills that they wouldn't, like, deal with conduct that they may not normally, because they're getting a benefit from it. You're getting fame, you're getting notoriety, you're getting money, mm-hmm. or at least opportunity to earn money where you didn't have that before. So I think people are willing to put up with a lot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you made a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. Showbiz, kids.
You know, work hard and get a real job.
Yeah, for real, because this sounds awful.
That sounds terrible.
I would never want this to be my job.
No, thank you. No. But yeah, so we'll see what happens, and we'll keep you guys updated as there are more interesting breaks in the lawsuit.
Yeah, especially when some answers get, you know, filed and things started moving in the shaking.
Yeah, but
I think it'll be really interesting. I think some of these claims will drop off. You know, like you said, there'll be motions filed, there'll be answers filed. It's the beginning of a very long road, but we'll be here to talk about it.
Yep, as long as people are interested, we'll talk about it.
Exactly. Okay, so thank you guys. Do you have anything more to say about this before I wrap it up?
Sorry. No, I'm about to sneeze. So
okay.
I'm done.
Well, thank you so much for hopping on and chatting all about this. I really appreciate it. And for everyone who's listening, like I said earlier, head over to Legally 40-ish on Instagram and wherever you're listening to this, subscribe and listen to Legally 40-ish, and we'll be on the feed there shortly.
Yep. We'll be talking about Erica Girardi in just a few minutes.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.